Okay, I call us back into order. We anticipate the road counting to continue for another half an hour. And so I'm trying to stay our schedule here. We start lunch at 1. So you're supposed to be done all of our business by 1. So what I'm gonna ask you to do is I'm gonna ask for a motion to take up out of order. What we're gonna take up now is the platform committee recommendations, which we have 3 of, and then any constitutional or bylaw amendments. Do I have a second to that?
Second.
Any opposed? Okay, that's what we're going to do. We're going to start with platform. Within your binder, you have both the minutes and the kind of abstracted out, the recommended changes to the platform committee. The way this works is central committee members are invited to a platform committee meeting, and they take up requests to amend our platform and then pass recommendations to you. You can't amend them. It's an up or down vote. You can say no, you can say yes, but we've got 3 of them from the platform committee, so we'll take them one at a time. If I can read in this light. So the first one is a proposal to add a section 3.9 that reads, whenever any form of government becomes destructive of individual liberty, is the right of the people to alter, abolish, or withdraw from it, and to agree to such new governments, or none, as to them shall seem most likely to protect their liberty. So, we don't need a motion for this, but you can have anybody can speak to in favor of it or against it. I'm going to let Alex, if he wants, to speak in favor first, since he introduced it to the platform committee. If you want, you don't.
Sure. Everybody can hear me, right?
Yeah.
After 2 years of living under the COVID regime, I just thought we should probably have something within the platform that you hear a lot about nullification and secession, have something in the platform that at some point, maybe Eastern Shore, maybe Western Maryland, maybe a county, maybe a township, maybe Rock Hall could secede from Maryland, or I think we should have something in that platform. So that's the reason to introduce this.
Anybody else want to speak in favor? Does anybody want to speak against? Robert.
I don't think it's necessary. I think it just raises the fire.
Okay. Anybody else want to be heard on this platform? So moved. All those in favor of adopting this platform provision, please raise your hand. All those opposed? Looks like we have 3 opposed. Is that correct? 4? Okay, I'm going to...
I'm 3.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 opposed.
I mean, I'm a total of 3.
Oh, then 6, 7.
Proxies.
Anybody else voting a proxy on that? How many?
Just 1 proxy. Yes.
So that's 80. And Tim, you were voting against?
No.
Okay, I don't really need to know the... Anybody else voting against? Okay, so I'm going to just declare that... Oh, wait, we've got 1, Colleen. So we have 9 opposing, but that's a vast majority in favor, so I'm going to declare it.
What was the yes number?
We did not take it. Do you want it? No, I'm going to say that we passed it by, it's not acclamation, but it's an overwhelming vote. Platform Amendment 2 is simply adding to our section on policing and drugs a provision opposing qualified immunity. It adds the sentence that's underlined and qualified immunity for police officer misconduct. It does that in the context of a full paragraph, which I'll now read, which reads policing and drugs, section 3.4, redirect law enforcement towards crime against persons and property rather than victimless crimes, end pre-conviction asset forfeiture, end qualified immunity for police officer misconduct, end the drug war, promote medical treatment rather than prison sentences for substance use disorder, and legalize and deregulate all drugs, including natural plants and medicines and such as cannabis and entheogens. So that's the thing. It adds that one sentence to end qualified immunity for police officer misconduct. Does anyone really want to speak in favor? I will, since I introduced it to the platform committee, if the body doesn't mind me doing it. We've actually developed some traction with the Progressive Caucus in Maryland to actually take this issue up. In a state like Maryland, that's very difficult. The only unions more powerful than the police unions in Maryland are the teachers' unions. And ending qualified immunity for police officers will be a tough battle, but it looks like we could even have up to 6 or 7 sponsors in the first go-around. And given the nature of the leadership in the Democratic Party, I think it will probably take 3 to 4 years, but it's also something that we can build on. So I really want us to work on it. We don't have to have it in the platform to work on it, but it helps because we get to use it in our social media messaging in ways that are quoted. So that's why I proposed it. So that's in favor. Anybody else want to speak in favor? Anyone want to speak? Oh, yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I'd like to propose a minor but grammatical and maybe legal change to the wording of this.
So you cannot do that. You can either vote it up or down, but right under our Constitution, you'd have to go onto the platform committee to make those things. So you can speak against it, though, and say why you want it, what change you would want.
It's not the gist of it. It's just maybe a more sound way of writing this.
Okay. Anybody else want to speak opposed?
I'll go four.
Okay, well, let me stick with opposed, and then we'll come back to four. Anybody else opposed? Okay, four.
I think this is good. The qualified immunity, just the way that I see it, it's like special rights. And so they're more equal and they're immune. And it just doesn't seem fair. So I'm in support of this.
Okay. Anybody else wish to be heard on this one? Okay. All those in favor of adopting this platform committee recommendation, please raise your hand. All those opposed? It was unanimous. The third and last one, for those that were at our summer picnic, you may recall that there was some discussion about the wording, and this is really wordsmithing, our Defend the Guard Act. So the way it reads currently is just Maryland National Guard shall not be deployed outside the state unless there has been a congressional declaration of war. What this does is add the word the at the beginning of the sentence, changes the shall to should because this isn't a statute, it's a commitment to what should happen. And then adds the most important part is that it's for combat outside the state. That is, there was a lot of people that did not like the idea that
the National Guard couldn't go to Louisiana for a flood or something like that. And the way the Defend the Guard Act is set up, it is about combat operations. We have, in the bill itself, it's a much more specific term. But the platform committee didn't like my legalese, so they just said combat, for combat. So, the total, if adopted, this would read, the Maryland National Guard should not be deployed for combat outside the state unless there has been a congressional declaration of war. Does anybody want to speak in favor of this?
I just had a question. Why did they change from shall to should?
That's my question. So, if this was a law being written, you would have the mandatory language, but this is our platform. This is saying what should happen. So, saying shall in a platform is kind of incongruous with a lot of the rest of our platform, which is saying we should do this, we should do that. That was the rationale. Yes?
Is there a word that's a little stronger than should, or are you just really legally you have a should or a shall?
No, that's not a legal requirement. Okay, and you can come to the platform committee next year. We actually spent some time this year, but nothing will trump the year where we were in Stu Sims' basement. And we started the platform committee at 8:30 and left at about 1 in the morning. It was a fun one. His wife was looking down the stairs. We'll be done soon, right. They were not happy. Anybody else want to speak to this platform change? Scott.
Because there are some people that I talk to that aren't really familiar with it, this is the idea that Defend the Guard bill that we're trying to put down the hill. The idea generally that if we manage to get the bill passed within Maryland or any other state, it would throw a wrench in the gears. It relied heavily on the Guard for deployment, including the air guards. Transit to and from relies on the air guard, from combat zones relies on the air guard. All kinds of things play into this, so it's a very, very good bill that we're getting success with. And I think that for combat, it is relevant. We might all love not to have the guard leave Maryland, some of us might not like, but as far as getting it over the hump in Maryland, the state delegates here are very concerned about exactly what you mentioned, that can the guard be used? What if there is a disaster that we want to go support? Or what if there's a January 6th that we want to send the guard to? You can't
have them participate in that.
So clarifying that is important for the sake of the bill, for its success.
So, anybody else wants to? Thank you, Scott. And thank you to Scott and Tim for bringing this to our attention, I don't know, about a year and a half ago when we started the effort. It's been tried in a lot of other states. I'd love it if Maryland could be the first one. You never know. You know, sometimes things happen in world events and all of a sudden opinions change. So anyway, anybody else want to comment about this bill before we vote on it? Yes, Tim. Brian.
I just want to speak against it. By putting that for combat in there, it could be implied that our National Guard could be used for any civil unrest around the country, any insurrection around the country, and it allows what we have seen over this pandemic is National Guard's been taking jobs from bus drivers, truck drivers, doctors, nurses, teachers. That's not what our National Guard is for, and that's my reasoning for being against this platform.
Fair enough. If you want it, just to give you a little explanation on that. So that's controlled by the Insurrection Act, not Declaration of War. And so one of the reasons why the Defend the Guard has been focused on the combat operations and not things like that is the very first thing when you're meeting with delegates and senators or anybody that's considering it, they want to know what the legal outcomes are going to be. And if you tell them, well, they can't go to meet an insurrection under the Insurrection Act, which you probably don't even have a Tenth Amendment right to do, they go, well, wait a minute, this isn't ready for prime time. So that's not to say, I don't want to dissuade anybody from voting no on this, that you can't have a platform, and our platform is different. I'm just explaining why the focus is on combat operations. So, anybody else? Yes, sir.
My question is, going out of the front line and see with this, out of the last few weeks we've seen, wars can happen anywhere with Russia and Ukraine. I'd like to see, instead of state country, if Delaware were to, say, get attacked by a foreign nation and our National Guard can assist quicker than Delaware's, it might happen quickly. Congress will play a role. That's the only thing I am opposed to that.
Okay. So, again, we can't
help our neighbors.
Right. So we can't change the language now because we'd have to do that next year in the platform committee and then bring it back to this body. But that obviously can be a reason to vote yay or nay. Okay, anybody else? Any other debate?
Just remind us what it's replacing.
It is already section 3.6, Maryland National Guard. So we already have this in our platform. What we've changed is adding the word "the" at the beginning of the sentence, changing "shall" to "should," and adding after the word "deploy" "for combat." So that it reads, the Maryland National Guard should not be deployed for combat outside the state unless there has been a congressional declaration of war. Okay. Any other? Yes, Christian.
I was going to speak for the bill. It's just more communicable and it clarifies. That's it. This plank is already in our platform. We're making it more communicable, and we're making it a little bit more specific by mentioning for combat, so that people aren't dissuaded from supporting this because they think that the Maryland National Guard isn't going to be able to help Virginia to flood. So that's it. Simple change.
Any other comments, debate? Hearing none. All those in favor of adopting this platform amendment, please raise your hand. All those opposed? Are you voting any proxies? Sir, are you voting any proxies? Bob? Yes. Okay, so that's two of us. Okay, so that takes care of platform. If you're really into platform stuff, in about March of next year, you'll get a notice saying when the next platform committee is, in anticipation of the next annual convention, and that's the time to show up. The next issue is constitutional amendments. We have none proposed, but constitutional amendments can be proposed from the floor, and I see Robert has raised his hand, so Robert.
The shorthand, I don't think this will be controversial. A while ago, we changed the notification process for central committee meetings so it could be done by email or postal mail, but we neglected to change the requirement for the platform committee, and so right now the platform committee meeting has to be announced by mail. So my proposed constitutional amendment is to use the same language that we use for the central committee meetings for the announcement of the platform committee meeting, and that is this. Amend section 573. I'm going to change notice of this meeting to state the time and place of the meeting and shall be mailed to all members of the state central committee at least 10 days prior to the meeting and address of the residents of each member to the following. Notice of this meeting shall state the time and place of the meeting and shall be mailed or emailed to members of the state central committee at least 10 days prior to the meeting, addressed to the postal address or email address of each member on file.
Second.
Okay, so Robert, just to clarify before we start discussion, you're just adding the words "or email" in that?
And also I changed the end of the sentence to mimic the wording in the other section where it says to the postal address or email address of each member or card.
Okay, does everybody understand the constitutional amendment motion? The way this works is this body passes it by a majority vote. It then goes to a committee that I appoint after this that I'm on, and I can't remember the requirements, but it's six or seven people who vet it and then come back to you at the next regular meeting of the convention to vote on it, and then it requires a 3/5 vote. So, now I've got to stop talking about process. Robert, do you want to speak to your motion?
I think I already did.
Okay. Anybody want to speak in favor? David.
Hurrah.
I will speak in favor because sometimes those little hiccups make us do a mailing that wastes money, and emails are just easy. Anybody opposed? Or want to speak against? Hearing none. On this one, on a constitutional amendment, we should be taking a vote total. So all those in favor of this amendment, raise your hand. And now, any opposed? Seeing none, so we can declare that as unanimous. Good. Even though I'm fast at counting. Any other amendments to the Constitution that wants to be... Yeah, I will do that. Any other constitutional amendments? Hearing none. Any amendments to the bylaws? Yes, Robert.
Okay. We have a bylaw or organizational amendment. Let me find what it says.
You want me to read it?
The bylaw of organizational amendment, point one, states the copy of the minutes of each meeting of the executive board and the state central committee will be sent to all past chairmen. And my amendment is to append to that sentence to our current general or pledge members.
Second. Okay. Robert, can you speak to your motion?
Well, I feel kind of queasy every month when I send the executive board minutes to all of the then previous chairmen who are not necessarily still libertarian. Some of them are other parties, at least in one case, and many of which we have not heard from in years. I don't even know if they received the email, but it doesn't bounce back. I just feel funny about doing that with the executive board. It's kind of proprietary information. And if you're still a member, I think that's great. So that's the only thing.
So the essence of it would be to limit the requirement to only those people that are current members so that we're not sending it to people that might not be members or may be associated with other parties?
Yes.
Okay. Anybody else want to speak in favor?
I learned a whole lot about this apart from my experience with the fellowship, but we had this, and I stand in favor of this voting because it does not make sense to send minutes from a business meeting to someone who's no longer involved in the business. So I agree with this.
Any opposed? Or wish to speak against it? That are really opposing. Seeing none. This one requires a 3/5 vote, no, 20% of the membership or 3/4 of voting, whichever is larger. So, all those in favor of adopting this, by the way, this bylaw amendment goes into effect immediately. All those in favor of this bylaw amendment, please raise your hand. All those opposed... any opposed, raise your hand again. I just want to make sure I did. Okay, so it was unanimous. David, I'm going to start counting that as a no vote if you keep on.
Okay, so we've gotten through okay. It's lunchtime. It is a banquet lunch, buffet lunch. I'm just going to ask Dean, is there any reason to not go to lunch now?
No, you can go to lunch.
Okay. And we're going to do the lunch for the first half hour, then we're going to start the speaker. And what I'm recommending is that we not adjourn the Central Committee meeting like we had planned at 1, but instead we will take it back up after the speaker. We had a second roundtable scheduled, but we may need to eat into that to handle the other business, because we need to elect a new chair and a new executive board, and we also have candidate nominations. So all those are very important, so we want to get back to it.
And you require a motion?
Yes. Motion to recess.
Motion to recess. We have a second. Anyone want to speak in opposition to a recess? Okay. We will recess at the call of the chair. We will recess until the call of the chair. David, yes.
No, you answered my question.
Okay. Thank you. Enjoy the lunch.
You don't need to know this, because it's wasting all your time. I want to apologize to you personally. My program to count the ballots encountered a couple of problems, but I know exactly what they are, and we can redo it. We can redo it, except that Dean is thankfully doing it by hand, and we can't take the ballots from him. So we know how to do it now, but we would have to start it.
We're getting there.